is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Funeral. It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. Suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go.
This is that Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where by popular demand we are joined once again with our expert on polling from Madison, Wisconsin. We're here to enjoy the wit and wisdom of Rolf Lindgren. Rolf, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be back, Jimbo.
Well, it's great to have you here, my friend. You send me lots of great stories, and there's so much going on here. I don't know if you've seen this one, Rolf, a tweet from James Woods. Philosophers have argued since the dawn of man about the existence of God. Every argument for centuries has boiled down to a question of faith versus a question of proof. And at long last, we have tangible proof that there is indeed a God. Hunter Biden laptop.
Just remember that BLM means Biden's laptop matters.
I like that too. Rolf, this is devastating. Has such an October surprise one so powerful, so completely comprehensive and eviscerating ever taken place in our history? I think not.
I think that the laptop evidence, which is damning, I mean, it's literally direct evidence of criminal activity by the big guy, you know, carving up the money. It's going to energize Trump's base. People who are unenthusiastic Biden voters, if they find out about this, they're going to be even less enthusiastic. And then, of course, some independents, if they're looking for, they're going to say, wait, this guy's a crook, too. You know, some people think Trump is a crook. That's what the mainstream media says. Well, some people might realize that actually Biden is the crook. So there's no evidence that Trump did anything crooked, you know. So I think it's a game changer. I'm hearing radio commercials using it as the feature of the commercial. And like I said, the problem the Biden people have, and frankly the media, which is really an arm of the Biden campaign, they don't know what else is on the laptop. So they don't know what to lie about. That's the worst problem for a liar, is if the liar doesn't know what you know, then they don't know what their lie is going to be. Because if they make a lie based on what they think you know, then you know something else. Then that's a lie too. So then they have to keep changing, and soon enough, nobody believes them.
I think that's a great point, Rolf. Yes, they don't know what
the polling is starting to turn. Now, you have to wonder about all these pollsters. I think there's a combination of the pollsters simply they don't like Trump, and then some of them are like probably purposely, you know, cooking the books, using techniques they know will favor Biden. But it looks like there's two polls out today where Trump is leading in Pennsylvania. The Insider Advantage poll has him up by 2 in Pennsylvania. And then there's a Trafalgar poll that has him up 48.4 to 47.6. So that's 0.8%. So up by 1% in the Trafalgar poll and 2% in Insider Advantage. And incidentally, Nate Silver of the 538 group, he has a big article up today titled, "Is Joe Biden Toast If He Loses Pennsylvania?" So that means the Democrats are really getting worried. Because, and remember, Trump just did 3 rallies in Pennsylvania yesterday. Okay,
yeah.
He'll probably be back to Pennsylvania with another rally, maybe more than one. If Trump wins Pennsylvania, now, according to Nate Silver, Joe Biden isn't quite toast. But I think that Joe Biden is toast if he loses Pennsylvania. Because if Trump takes Florida and he takes Pennsylvania, it's I don't think it looks good for Joe Biden. I'm personally projecting a result of 326 to 212. That's my prediction.
I think he could take all 50 states, Rob. I'll tell you.
That's a little bit optimistic. According to the predicted chart, they have predicted has it right now 290 for Biden, 248 for Trump. But if you look at the state by state, if Pennsylvania flipped over to Trump, then it would be 270 to 268. So, and then Arizona, if Arizona went for Trump, then Trump would be up to 279. So if Arizona, that means Trump can still win the election, even if he loses Nevada, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, and New Hampshire. He could lose all those places and still win the election by winning Arizona, Florida, and Pennsylvania. And Florida has actually moved back to Trump on the predicted chart. The predicted chart, you know, could be influenced by someone with a lot of money and trying to promote Trump promote Biden could go onto the predicted and just start buying for Biden to twist the results. And I don't think it's that high volume of a site for actual money. You could go in there with a few thousand bucks or even more than that. You know, someone with $50,000 could probably go in there and, you know, make the site twist the results on there. And overall, they have Biden as about a 3-2 favorite. So a 3-2 favorite is really almost a toss-up.
How could anybody be favoring Biden at this
point? I don't buy that Biden is a 3-2 favorite at all. I would say that Trump's going to win. Look at these other states. So let's take a look at some other states. Michigan is a state. Trump just tweeted today that he's leading by 2 in Wisconsin, 2 in 3 in Michigan, and 2 no 3 in Okay, let me start over. 3 in Michigan, 2 in Wisconsin, 3 in Pennsylvania. So I don't know what poll that is. That must be on top of the other two polls we saw where Trump was winning in Pennsylvania. But in Michigan, there's other polls that have him up. I think the Trafalgar poll had him up. And then there's this poll that Trump tweeted about. And remember, there's a candidate for Senate in Michigan named John James. And John James is an outstanding candidate. He's 39 years old. He's a black man in the military and a businessman. He's been out fundraising his opponent for the Senate four consecutive quarters. Okay? The guy has a great line. When he gets up, he says, "My great-grandfather was a slave. My grandfather was a sharecropper. My father was a blue-collar worker. And now I'm a successful businessman, military veteran, and candidate for Senate." That's the American dream. That's what John, it's a great message. And it's also ironic that his opponent, Senator Peters, his great-grandfather harbored John Wilkes Booth after he murdered President Abraham Lincoln. So that's kind of a bad coincidence. Not that you should blame your ancestors, but if the liberals are going to bring up this demographic stuff, I would just use anything you got. So I think that John James is a big factor in Michigan because he can help get black people, especially black men, to swing over to Trump, and then Trump can get maybe rank and file Republicans over to John James. So we could get a twofer in Michigan. We could get a Senate pickup, and we could also get Trump could win those electoral votes. I believe it's 16 electoral votes. So that would be really nice in Michigan. I think Michigan, we're both in Wisconsin. So here in Wisconsin, Trump won Wisconsin last time. He's got a lot better campaign than he did in 2016. He's got the local, remember in 2016, Trump did not win the primary. Okay.
Right.
So you have to remember that the Republican Party, Wisconsin, was not behind Trump in 2016, and he still won anyway, the state anyway. Now he has the whole party behind him, and he's a much stronger, more organized candidate with more money and resources. I think that's a big difference between the last election, and that also goes for that's another factor that you haven't heard people talk about on the news, but there's seven key states where Trump lost the primary or the caucus, depending on what state. And I'm going to go through those states real quick. One of them is Texas, which Trump won by like 9%, even though he lost the primary to Ted Cruz. The Bush people didn't like him back then. The Ted Cruz people were not upset with him, and the Rick Perry people were upset with him. Now Trump has Rick Perry in the cabinet, and Ted Cruz is behind him. There's no way in heck that Trump's going to lose Texas. It's just a pipe dream from the media. Another state that's kind of like that is Ohio and Iowa. Both of those states Trump lost in either the primary or the caucus, didn't have the party behind him. And now he has the party behind him in Iowa. I think he made the governor of Iowa, Terry Branstad, the ambassador, I think, to Japan. He's got the whole state behind him now. He already won it like 8 or 9 points last time. That's a pipe dream. And by the way, if Trump can win by 8 or 9 points again.
Rolf, are you there? I'll just fill in while we're getting reconnected with Rolf if we lost him, and it's probably Mitchell having gone down. Yeah, Mitchell's internet was dropping. I have reports from Michigan. I have reports from Michigan that they're teaching the poll workers to dispose of ballots, to expel poll watchers, to do a whole lot of nasty
stuff. Okay, I'm back.
Stuff.
We must have had a bad connection.
Yeah. Mitchell lost you. I'm sorry. It was he's got a problem, Mitchell. Rolf, go ahead. I was just starting to say.
So in Iowa and Ohio and Texas, all states that the Democrats keep talking about, they leaving out the fact that Trump didn't even win in the primaries in 2016 in those states, and he won all three of those states by large margins, 8%, 9%, or 10%. None of these states are going to go for Democrats, and the senators are going to win in those states. Then another state is Minnesota. That's your home state at one time. Minnesota, Trump only lost by 1%. He lost the caucus. In the Minnesota Republicans didn't really like Trump in 2016. And he still came within 1% of winning that state. I think that Trump's going to win Minnesota. You don't hear that much about it on the news, the Minnesota. Well, there's a reason for that, because they're hoping that, you know, maybe the Republicans don't turn out or something because they don't think he's going to win Minnesota. Maybe that's what the media – I don't know what they're doing, but I think Trump's going to win Minnesota. He's got the Minnesota party behind him too. And then there's another state is Maine. Maine is a state that I think is 50-50. Trump already won one of the districts, so he picked up an electoral vote there last time. He did not win the Maine caucuses. This time he has Susan Collins running on the ticket. If she has any coattails at all, she could help Trump win the whole state, which would be an extra 2 electoral votes. Because in Maine they divide up the electoral votes. You get 2 for winning the state, and then you get 1 for each district when there's only 2 districts. So that could be. I'm not going to predict that Trump's going to win Maine right now, but I think that it's still possible that he could win Maine. Now, Susan Collins voted against the Justice Barrett. That could be a sign that Trump isn't going to win Maine. Actually, that's what it means to me. But maybe he will win Maine. What could happen is Susan Collins could narrowly be reelected, and Trump could narrowly lose the statewide vote, but should pick up the vote in the second congressional.
I'm actually quite a fan of Susan Collins after the magnificent speech she gave in relation to the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, Rolf. She was just admirable. Withstanding
from that was a great speech. That was about 2 years ago.
Yes.
And that was really good. Now she did come out this time. She came out, you know, she knows her own political situation. You have to remember that Maine is a traditionally Democrat state. It hasn't been won by a Republican probably for, you know, maybe when there was a landslide win by like Reagan or something, he won it. But I wouldn't be surprised if it hasn't been won by a Republican since Reagan. In fact, yeah, just getting that second congressional district.
Reagan won every state except Minnesota because Walter Mondale was the favorite son.
Yeah, so that's probably what happened. Trump is really getting knocking on the door in Maine, put it that way. And like I said, it could go for Trump. I see him coming up just short in Maine, but. Another way to look at it is, where is Trump doing his campaign rallies? And looking at his rallies, he did make a quick visit to Maine the other day, but I don't think he did a campaign rally. So I'm not sure what that was. It was some kind of a strategy where he went to Maine and appeared somewhere in Maine at the same time Collins said she wasn't going to vote for Barrett. So it was some kind of orchestrated strategy to help Collins and Trump somehow. That's what I would say.
Yes.
If Collins had voted for Barrett, which remember we didn't need the vote anyway, then that would have been a sign that Trump was on board to win Maine. Or if Trump did a real campaign rally there, which he doesn't appear to have done. Now I have a list of his upcoming rallies. He did 3 yesterday in Pennsylvania. Today, he did Lansing, Michigan, Wisconsin. He's over by La Crosse, and then he's going to Omaha, Nebraska. And Omaha, Nebraska, there's one There's one electoral vote there in the Eastern District of Nebraska. He wants to make sure that he doesn't lose that one. The last time, in the last election, Hillary Clinton spent $3 million on TV ads in Oklahoma and, of course, did not win that electoral vote. Another advantage of going to Omaha is you're right on the border with Western Iowa. So you get a lot of Western Iowa exposure as well. Now, Trump probably doesn't need Iowa, but it's another side bonus effect of going there. So I think he just decided to make one trip there just to make sure he gets that vote. He has two events in Arizona tomorrow. And Arizona, of course, has been the pipe dream for the Democrats. It seems like every election they want you to think that the Republicans are going to lose because there's lots of Hispanics there, and all the Hispanics are going to turn against Trump eventually. Well, Hispanics are not yet to 50% for Trump, but everything we're seeing shows that they're going up and up. Millennial Hispanics are switching to Trump. You know, a lot of Hispanics want the immigration laws enforced. You know, Trump has brought in a lot of new U.S. citizens as president. Over 1 million new legal U.S. citizens per year have been sworn in into this country. And that's a lot of people. You know, that's a lot of people. And the idea that Trump is a racist is a load of crap. And people are waking up, and Hispanics are waking up. We got a guy in Dane County. He's a guy. I met this guy at the gym, and he's a Hispanic, born in Mexico, not even a citizen yet, but trying to be a citizen. This guy is unbelievable. He's going all over the place with Latinos for Trump and Trump flyers and Trump, you know, yard. This guy's going all over. All of his friends, he's a cab driver. He talks about Trump with every person in his cab. That's all he does. He claims that 80 to 90% of the people in his cab are for Trump, which is hard to believe in Dane County, but that's what he says. That's what he told me. He has no reason to lie about it.
This guy told you right here in Dane County.
And he's working on being a police officer. He's trying to get his citizenship done, finish up his citizenship, and he's also trying to become a police officer.
I love it.
This is an example of a guy. You know, I've never met anyone like this before. This guy is really fanatical for Trump. And then another minority. We have what's called Pints in Politics. We have black people that just show up at our events sometimes. This one guy came in. He had a MAGA hat, and the guy was so. He got up there and started ripping on Black Lives Matters. You know, this guy's a former football player. And he's this guy can't stand Black Lives Matters, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are sick of being people being treated like they're stupid. Okay, they want to be treated as equal Americans, not as some demographic group that's sort of like disabled. People don't want to identify themselves as like disabled because they're in some demographic group. People are sick of it. The only people that really want to do that are really old people who need help. That's it. If you're not old and you don't have an actual handicap, people want to stand up on their own. They don't want people to keep labeling you as a victim. So, we were talking about the states where Trump lost in the primaries. One other state I shouldn't mention is Colorado. Now, Colorado is not looking good right now. That's the one senator that we might lose, Cory Gardner. Trump hasn't been campaigning in Colorado for ages. The last time he was in Colorado was in February, I think. So Trump has probably given up on Colorado. He's probably letting Cory Gardner fight it out for himself. If Cory Gardner can win Colorado, you know, then that'd be great. I don't know whether he's going to win or not. He's running against John Hickenlooper, who was the former governor of Colorado. Hickenlooper ran for president and barely registered 1% in the polls. That's probably not going to help him in a state race because it makes him look like he's just an ambitious guy who wants to run for something, doesn't really care about Colorado. Now he's back to Colorado. He's got ethics issues, and with the ethics board has sanctioned him for violations. Whether that will be enough to help him win, I don't know. If Trump wants a bigger-than-expected victory, then I think Cory Gardner could win. But right now, I'm predicting there's only going to be three shifts in the Senate. We're going to take back Alabama. The former Auburn football coach, Tommy Tuberville, is going to beat Doug Jones. And I think that John James is going to win in Michigan. But I think that Cory Gardner will probably lose in Colorado. But prove me wrong. I'd really like to see Cory Gardner.
Well, we were talking about Michigan. Aren't we going to pick up a seat there in Michigan?
Michigan is where the Senator John James is running for Senate. And I haven't been tracking the House races as closely. But you have to remember that anytime Trump wins a state or a Republican wins a state, a senator wins a state, then that's better for the House candidates. Because if Trump really wants to change change things in the second term, he needs to take the House back. We need to get Nancy Pelosi out of there. We got to get her out of there. And there's about 30 to 33 seats where there's Democrats running in seats that Trump won in 2016. Something like that. And there's a good chance that the Republicans can pick up 20 or 30 seats.
Well, we're about to hit a break, my friend. Hold that thought. We're about to hit a break. We'll be right back with Rolf Lundgren.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I've pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect, Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the perfect triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Now, Rolf, I think you would agree that historically Trump has been undercounted in the polls, that he actually has somewhere between 5 to 7% greater support than are being reflected by the polls. And, of course, most of these are being deliberately contrived to oversample Democrats, women, and progressives.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about the polls. Okay, by the way, there's a new poll out today. In Florida, the Susquehanna poll has Trump up by 4 in Florida. Well, that's a major victory for Trump if he takes Florida. Now, there are some pollsters that are now showing Trump ahead or tied in key battleground states, including Rasmussen, Trafalgar, Democracy Institute, Insider Advantage, Susquehanna, and then there may be another one that I'm overlooking. But Here's the problem with the polls. The first is national polls don't mean anything, okay? We don't have a national election in the United States. We have a republic of states, and each state has their own election. So national polls mean absolutely nothing, okay? Secondly, polls are conducted by the same media corporations that are reporting on the polls. Well, that's a conflict of interest. It used to be that the pollsters like Gallup did the polls, and then the media reported on the polls. Okay, so any poll done by a media corporation that already hates Trump can't be trusted. We also don't know how many polls they've done that have never been released. It's ABC, NBC, CBS, they could be doing a poll every day and only release one a week. We don't know. So first of all, we got to only look at the battleground state polls. Okay, let me boil it down. There's basically three main sources of error in these polls, and that's assuming that they're done as of likely voters. Because remember, some of the polls are being done as registered voters, which are also inaccurate. Okay, here's the problems. One problem is Joe Biden has unenthusiastic voters, right? There's been lots of data out there that shows that Trump people are more enthusiastic than Biden voters. Okay, what does that mean? Let's say that a pollster calls 100 Biden voters and 100 Trump voters who say they're going to vote for Biden or Trump. Okay, but let's say that 80% of the Biden voters actually go and vote, but 90% of the Trump voters go and vote. Well, guess what happens? That means you go from a tie to a 6% lead for Trump if he has a 10-point advantage in his turnout. And the turnoff could be bigger than 10%.
I think it's going to be substantially bigger, and the gap in enthusiasm is just enormous. It's a yawning chasm.
Remember, the turnout is defined as the percentage of people who told the pollsters they were going to vote and are classified as by the pollsters as likely voters, the percentage of those people who actually go and vote. That's what I mean by turnout percentage. So clearly Trump has an advantage with turnout that could easily be 5%, 6%, 8%, 9%. Remember, if it's a 90 to 75% advantage for Trump, that would be a 9% swing in the polls just off of turnout. And remember that the Democrats are not doing door-to-door campaigning in most states this time. So that means they're not the people who are maybe there's someone in their house who answered the phone and said they were going to vote for Biden, but they never bothered to do it. And nobody knocked on their door to remind them. That makes a big difference. There's statistics out there that says if you knock on someone's door, they're 17% more likely to vote than if you don't, stuff like that. Now, that's one error is Biden voters not showing up. That's one possibility for error. But there's two other errors. The other errors are called the hidden Trump voters, okay?
Or the shy Trump voters. Yeah.
But there's two different kinds of hidden Trump voters. Okay? One kind of hidden Trump voters are new or infrequent voters who will tell a pollster they're voting for Trump, but they're not classified as likely voters, either because they didn't vote in 2016, they just haven't voted very often. Those are people, and this happened with Obama, by the way, when he was running. Obama had a lot of new voters who were infrequent voters because a lot of black people voted for Obama who normally didn't vote. And they were not counted as likely voters sometimes because they hadn't been voting. Okay, Trump has the exact same voters, although I think he has even more, actually. Although it's hard to know until we do the voting. Although we do know that Trump won in 2016, we proved that he probably had as many of those voters as Obama. But there's another hidden voter, and that's simply the people who won't answer the phone, or even worse, they lie on the phone. Okay? Just remember, if you lie on the phone, say you're going to vote for Biden, you have that's a 2.2 vote swing. Okay?
Right. Because it's counted as one for Biden and not for Trump, but you're actually given one for Trump.
That's right. So I don't think there's really that many people that are lying, although I have a report from a manager at a gas station. He said that two guys came in and told my friend that they told the pollster they were going to vote for Biden and they're really going to vote for Trump. So there probably are some, but I think it's more common that people simply won't even do the polls. And even Rasmussen poll, a lot of people probably don't know who Rasmussen poll is. They just know that it's a pollster, so they don't answer the phone. Another problem with polls is that people won't finish the poll. They'll do a few questions, and then they're sick of doing the questions, so they just give any answer just to finish the dang poll. So they may say they're going to vote for Biden when they're really not going to vote for Biden, only because they're trying to get the poll over with. Okay, so the question is, how many of these people are there out there? Well, we don't know for sure. We know that they had some of those in the last election, but I think that the number of hidden Trump voters is much greater than, because I think that people are, I mean, where I live, people are afraid to put a bumper sticker on their car, literally afraid. I have a lot of bumper stickers on my car, so I get people giving me the thumbs up all the time. I have not yet had a person give me the thumbs up who had a Trump bumper sticker on their car, not one person. And I've had hundreds of people do it. And I also have probably a 3-to-1 ratio of people who give me the thumbs up to people who, flip me off, which is pretty good for Dane County.
Yeah, we did such a bastion of liberalism here, progressive. I mean, it's outrageous. The Wisconsin State Journal, Rolf, is nothing but a liberal propaganda rag. It's just outrageous.
It is. And another problem is yard signs being stolen. You know, I've heard sporadic reports of yard signs before. This year, I hear it every day. Someone stole our yard. We need more yard signs. Someone stole our yard signs. Someone told me they had put the yard signs up 7 times on their house, and they've been stolen the first 6 times. You know, it's outrageous behavior by these Democrats, and that isn't that considered election meddling, stealing a yard sign?
I would think it would.
You would think it would, but the news media doesn't care about discrimination against Trump supporters. Apparently, it's okay to be mean to Trump supporters, especially in essentially cheat. So the number of hidden Trump voters. I also went and did doors for 2 days, and you know, I knocked on the door one day, and the first guy who answered the door said told me he was a hidden Trump voter. Okay, that's what he told me. Okay, I didn't ask him if he was a hidden Trump. He told me he was. And he had a sign up, a flag in his front of his house that just said vote, and it was a red flag. Okay, he was afraid to put a Trump sign, flag, or yard sign in his house, but he said that he thought the hooligans wouldn't know what the flag meant. So it just says vote, and it's a red flag. So that was funny. And his neighbor, by the way, also had the same flag. I had another door I knocked on, a black guy who was so enthusiastic for Trump that I went back and gave him a bag full of T-shirts and buttons and things like that, and he told me that his whole church was going to vote for Trump.
I love
it. That's what he told me.
I love it.
And I went to the next house, and there was a young girl, probably 20 years old, with a little baby, and I asked her who she was going to vote for. She said she was undecided. So I couldn't believe, I gave her a bag of Trump stuff too. But, you know, people say there's no undecided voter. Well, this person, she said she was undecided. Now, she has all the demographic characteristics of being a Biden voter. A single mother, she wasn't actually single. I guess she said she lived with her boyfriend. But young, in a liberal area, young woman, but no, she was undecided. So hopefully she'll... Hopefully, that's why door knocking makes a difference, because she said her boyfriend wasn't really into Trump, which is usually it's the other way around. So there's all these different situations. Whenever you assume something is one way, there's always people that are not the way you assume. So I had a great experience doing doors, because it just shows you that. You get to when you talk. If you don't talk to people, if you don't talk to regular people who don't spend their whole day studying politics, you can get a mixed up notion. That's why a lot of these politicians. That's why they go around and meet people all the time, and ask yourself, is Joe Biden in tune with voters? I doubt it. I think he just repeats slogans that he's learned over the years. Joe Biden doesn't even know who he's running against sometimes. He thought he was running against Bush. Did you hear about that one?
Yeah.
And his wife, Jill, was nudging him. No, you're running against Trump this time. Oh, yeah, Trump or Trump. You know, Kamala Harris didn't know if she was in Cleveland. You know, she doesn't even bother to keep track of what town she's in. She's on a hot mic and says, what town am I in? Oh, you're in Cleveland. You know, we're not talking about a little city like East Salem that people haven't heard of, which is really essentially La Crosse area. It's Cleveland's a pretty big city. Everyone knows about Cleveland. So if you can't remember that, that just shows you're not paying attention. You know, and these people don't care. You heard some of these rappers are now coming out for Trump. There was a rapper named Lil Pump. Lil Pump is now for Trump. He's for Trump. 50 Cent, then there's Ice Cube,
50 Cent has been rolled back by his former girlfriend who went after him.
Yeah, I heard about. I heard that he. So we don't really know where he's at, but he's certainly not strong for Biden. That's for sure. I wouldn't be surprised if he did vote for Trump. But then there's one of them. I think it was Ice Cube. I think he said that the Biden he went and talked to the Biden people, and they just said, "Oh, come back after the election, and we'll talk." You know, they just want their votes. These people don't care. Trump is the one who's doing things to helping people in disadvantaged communities. He's got the First Step Act, which is prison reform. He's got school choice. He's helped supported black colleges. He's got, you know, lower unemployment. He's doing a lot of things that the people in disadvantaged communities like. And and what they're doing is he's targeting the bad people. Because remember, in any community, there's only a small fraction of people that commit the violent crimes. If you catch those people, things change. That's why, like, we're here in the Madison area. We only have 5 or 10 murders a year, and they catch 80 to 90% of the murders. How many times do we have an unsolved murder in Madison? Hardly ever, right?
Yes.
Go to Chicago. Not only do they have dozens of murders every weekend, 90% of the murders are unsolved. So they don't even know who committed the murders. Well, that means whoever committed that murder, maybe they'll commit another murder. You know, those murders aren't all done by different people. The same people are doing a lot of those murders or other violent crimes, whether they're violent robberies. The only way to really solve crime is to catch the violent people. That's what you got to do. So, you know, Illinois is, and then the other problem these states have is a lot of the local communities, they don't want to help Trump, so they won't even ask Trump for help. Because Trump can bring in the National Guard or bring in the FBI to figure out who's doing this stuff.
Yeah.
They have advanced, they can catch you. If you go out and commit crimes, they can catch you. Because there's so many surveillance cameras, there's so many things that they can track you with, cell phones, whatever. They can figure out who did certain crimes. They have ways of figuring out who did it. And the local police don't have the money and resources. There's not that many people that are really that bad out there that could be tracked down. And they've been tracking down, they've been catching hundreds of people with this Operation Legend. So I'm really looking forward to election night. Last time he had 306, not counting the faithless electors. I think that he can pull that up to 326 this time. That's my prediction. The polls are getting closer. There's more and more polls that show Trump within striking distance. And there's only a small number of states that look like they're the true battlegrounds, like Pennsylvania. So,
well,
that's where I'm at right now.
Well, Biden committed a terrible gaffe during the debate when, toward the end, Trump pressed him on whether he would phase out fossil fuels, and he said yes, that he was going to end the oil industry, and Trump very appropriately picked up on it and emphasized it and said, hear that, Texas, hear that, Oklahoma, hear that, Ohio, hear that, Pennsylvania. I think that was a nail in the coffin for Biden, who I never felt had a serious prospect of victory in any case. But the Democrat, the hysteria coming from the media, Rolf, is just something I have never witnessed ever in all of my years. It's just unbelievable. Total problem.
And the media is shifting to Fox News. The latest ratings I've seen show, if you remember, the Rachel Maddow show was the highest rated show that wasn't on Fox. She would often sometimes beat Hannity. Well, now she's down to like ninth place. She's behind Neil Cavuto's show in the ratings. Cavuto and Brent Baer are ahead of Maddow. So is the five, Martha McCallum, Shannon Bream, and of course Tucker, Hannity, and Ingram. So all those shows are all ahead of the Rachel Maddow show in ratings. That's a leading indicator on where the election's going.
I agree too.
That's where it's going.
So
Tucker's going to interview the guy Bob Alinsky tonight on his show.
Yes.
You know that?
Yes, yes, I do. I was going to mention that as we proceed today.
That's the highest rated show right now. He's passed up Hannity as the highest rated show.
Rolf, you know, last week, I think Wednesday, he had 5.8 million viewers.
That's amazing. He's getting higher ratings than ABC, NBC, and CBS shows. Fox News, since Memorial Day, has routinely beaten the three major broadcast networks. They even beat them when they have major sporting events like the U.S. Open Tennis, the PGA Championship Golf, the Belmont Stakes, things like that. The only thing that's really beating them would be NFL football, which their ratings are going down. They also were beating the NBA Finals in basketball, Fox News. So, like I said, outside of NFL football, which is going down, Fox is beating everybody else, everything. That's a leading. Another leading indicator is gun sales. Apparently, we were breaking records for gun sales. And trust me, political operatives are tracking down people who are buying guns or getting gun, doing things related to, and they're finding out these people are all going to be contacted and asked to vote for Trump. And trust me, there's millions and millions of people who don't even care about politics, but they're into guns or hunting or some sort of gun collecting or whatever. That's another big – I just started hearing gun control ads on the radio this week. I also heard ads on the abortion issue. The government should not be paying for abortions. If you want to get an abortion, you should at least have to pay for it yourself. Don't ask the taxpayers to pay for it. That's another issue that's working for Trump. Also remember that most Hispanic people tend to be Catholics, and that most black voters actually are often, they go to conservative, like Baptist churches, and they're not for abortion, especially when it's being promoted by the government. I'm personally not necessarily a pro. I'm personally, I guess I would be called pro-choice, but I don't support government funding of abortion. So actually, I'm allied with pro-life people right now because, as far as I'm concerned, pro-life people are more sensible than pro-choice people because pro-choice doesn't mean the government. Remember, if guns are legal, that doesn't mean the government pays for your gun, right? You still have to pay for your own gun and your own ammunition. Okay, I wouldn't be in favor of the government paying for your gun, and I'm certainly not in favor of the government paying for your abortion. So those are different niche groups. Believe me, they're getting contacted. Trump has been starting back. Now his TV commercials are starting to come back. They said Biden had more money than Trump for the last month, but Trump was saving it up for the last week or two. So... And Trump has a lot of money. He's also been spending a lot of money on digital ads targeting voters. He's targeting what's called get out the vote money rather than just running all these commercials. I mean, you've seen all the Biden commercials. You have to ask yourself, how many votes is he really getting by running these lame commercials? Because I think a commercial, a lot to do with a commercial is what does the commercial say? Is it? And this, remember, the Trump secret weapon in this election, when it's all said and done, the secret weapon for Trump is that more people agree with Trump on almost every major issue than they do with Democrats, almost every single issue. I mean, Joe Biden has these ads we keep hearing. He's going to bring the country together. Okay? Well, what does that mean? Well, our voters, I don't think voters are that stupid. I think voters realize that Joe Biden isn't going to bring the country together.
We're going to pick this up, Rolf, and I'm glad you're going to take calls. The number is 540-352-4452. Questions about the current contest, the election, the candidates, and all related activities, 540-352-4452. Mitchell will take your call, get you on the air, and you'll have a talk with me, with Rolf, and others who are calling in. I just want to get that on the record. I think we're getting into the real deep issues now, Rolf. We can talk, begin now and after the break, about why there's such a great disparity. I think Biden and Harris are about the weakest ticket the Democratic Party has ever fielded, and I cannot believe they've actually put them out there, because neither of them is appealing. Biden's not neither mentally nor morally qualified for the job, and Kamala Harris was the weakest or among the weakest of all the Democratic candidates. She comes from California, so there was never a good reason to put her on the ticket, where it appears that the decision was made by George Soros' son, confirmed by George Soros, which means, in my opinion, the Democratic Party might as well relabel itself the undemocratic party. This is absurd.
Well, I remember when I was a kid, and the first time I could ever vote was 1984. I didn't know anything about politics at all. Nothing. Didn't know who was the governor. Didn't know who was the senator. And I actually voted for Mondale for one, and I didn't know about third parties then either, for one reason only. That's, I thought Reagan was too old. I saw Reagan on TV, and I just said, I'm not voting for him. He's too old. Okay, Biden is a lot worse than Reagan was in 1984. I mean, the Biden is really over the hill. But even beyond that, what has Biden actually said he's going to do? Can you name any Trump policies that he's said, no, that's bad? Look at all the peace treaties Trump has made.
I know, Rob. We'll be right.
Is he going to end those?
Hold that thought, Rob. Hold that thought. We'll pick it up after the break. Here's your chance to call in. 540-345-445.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
She travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
my good day wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asked for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Rolf, I thought you were making some very nice points there right toward the end. So let's pick up where we left off. I mean, I was observing that this is the weakest ticket I could imagine the Democrats could put forward, and that George Soros seems to be pulling the strings, that it's really incredibly progressive where some of the key figures like AOC have said the reason they were supporting Biden is because they thought he was the most amenable to pressure to support the Green New Deal. But Biden has come out and said he doesn't support the Green New Deal. When it comes to fracking, he's been both for fracking and against fracking. He's made so many verbal gaffes. I do not see how anyone can take the man seriously as a candidate for president of the United States.
Okay, well, what the strategy was to beat Trump was to attack Trump constantly on the news and then build up his negatives and then hope that the people who don't like Trump outnumber the people who do like Trump. According to most polling, about 45% of the people like Trump, about 50% don't like Trump, and then 5% don't really care. Okay, so they're hoping that the 50% who don't like Trump can outnumber the 45. The problem is, of the 50% who don't like Trump, probably half of them don't like Joe Biden either. Okay, remember that Joe Biden was running as the old trusty generic Democrat. They have all these other, remember there were 27 Democrats that ran? I mean, there were governors, there were senators, there were congressmen. All these people were running, and what they figured would happen, and I figured would happen, that one of these candidates would stand above the rest and be a strong candidate and take it to win the nomination. As it turned out, none of them were any good. The closest, you know, the ones that were closest were Bloomberg, who spent over $1 billion. Over $1 billion, and he barely made it. He got 59 delegates, okay? Then we had, I thought Cory Booker might be their top candidate. He just didn't quite have it, okay? Kamala Harris was actually the favorite by many people. I mean, think about Kamala Harris, the advantages she had. She had, first of all, she had California, where like 18% of all the Democrats in the country live. She was a woman. which, remember, 55 to 60% of all Democrats are women, and she's multiracial, and probably over half of all Democrat voters are now multiracial. So she couldn't get any of these groups to support her, even with the media covering her. Why is that? Well, because she really isn't anything special. She's just a person who got promoted by the news media. She's successful. She was the attorney general. She made it into the Senate. Most of this is just because big money promoted her. That's it. She has no real accomplishments, and she's not a disadvantaged minority either. That's another thing. She's a very privileged individual with an easy life, you might say. Okay. And, of course, we all know what Willie Brown did to help her along as well. So she just didn't make it. They stick her back in as the VP with Joe Biden. Joe Biden had the highest name recognition of all the Democrats, and he actually is a friendly guy. One of the tests for who's the best candidate is who would you rather have a beer with? Okay. Well, no one wants to have a beer with Hillary Clinton. Okay. No one wants to have a beer with Kamala Harris. Joe Biden is actually a friendly guy. He sounds friendly. You know, it sounds like he would be fun to have a beer with, probably. Okay, and Bill Clinton was the same way. Al Gore didn't have it. Al Gore, do you want to have a beer with Al Gore? Probably not. Okay, so being friendly and likable is a factor. Trump is actually very friendly and likable. The media tries to make you think he's not, so some people hate Trump, of course. But the people who like Trump, they would have a beer with Trump. So Joe Biden is really just a default candidate. And there have been elections before where the challenger, just figured they'd win because the incumbent was, quote, unpopular. And I'll give you an example. 1948. Remember that one? Dewey defeats Truman. Remember
right.
that?
Right.
Of course, Dewey didn't defeat Truman. Dewey ran a really lame campaign. Remember, Truman was very unpopular. Dewey ran a very lame campaign. He didn't campaign very hard. He didn't hit the campaign spots. When he did campaign, he just used really lame slogans, didn't say anything, and thought he was going to win. And then when they counted the votes, he lost. Okay. Another example would be Hillary Clinton. In 2016, Hillary Clinton ran a pretty lame campaign. She thought that Trump was so unpopular because Trump was immediately – remember, the news media has immense power to smear people. And Trump went from being a popular TV guy. Overnight, he turned into a racist. Did you ever heard Trump called a racist until he ran for president? I guess when he started talking about the political thing, the birth certificate, okay? But before that, Trump was never called any of these negative things. He's been famous. Trump's been famous for longer than the Clintons. He's been famous since the mid-1980s, maybe the early 1980s. I mean, he's been famous. Have you ever heard anything bad about Trump until he ran for president? All of a sudden, he's one of the worst people ever, okay? So the media turned Trump into a very unpopular person, and remember that Trump had no record of ever doing anything in politics. So everything that he said was essentially could have called all talk. Okay, so Hillary Clinton played a very cautious campaign. She didn't campaign that hard, whether she had physical disabilities or whatever. She had some computer that told her what to do and where to go and all this, and when it all said and done, it didn't work. She lost. Now Trump is running as a candidate with a positive record. Okay, he's not all talk anymore. We just mentioned these peace treaties in the Middle East. He's got one with Israel and Sudan, Israel and Bahrain, Israel and United Arab Emirates, and now they're saying that there's going to be a Saudi Arabia. Once Saudi Arabia signs up with a treaty, then there's going to be impossible for there to be a real war in the Middle East. So if some neocons get a hold of the government down the road, they're not going to be able to start a war. It's going to be very difficult to start a war for Israel. like has been done before. Also, likewise, a war for oil. President Trump has now made us energy independent. So the idea that we're going to start a war for oil is also very unlikely. And then, of course, with wars, what are the things that usually precede wars? Propaganda, fake intelligence, you know, false flag operations. Well, how much do people trust the intelligence agencies right now when they tell you something, like the Russians did it? Do people really believe that? They don't. Okay. And remember the weapons of mass destruction, right? If someone tried to do that now, if Joe Biden gets in and he starts telling us, well, the Iranians have weapons of mass destruction or something like that, that's not going to fly. No one's going to support a war with Iran or whatever war they're planning. My guess is if Biden somehow got in there, he would start talking tough about Putin and tell Putin to get out of the Crimea or tell Putin to get out of the Ukraine and then somehow start something there. That's really the only way I can see that the neocons could start another war if Trump for some reason didn't get reelected.
Rolf, you know that Putin is the Democrats' new best friend because he said he didn't see anything wrong with Hunter's business transactions in Ukraine. It's amazing. Now one Democrat liberal spokesman after another is, you know, praising Putin.
I saw that's funny. That's pretty funny, isn't it? Yeah, that's the new friend of the Democrats is Putin. So my opinion with Putin is that he's not that bad of a guy. I mean, he runs Russia. He probably has to do some things now and then that aren't unsavory, but. You know, as far as I can tell, he's pretty popular in Russia. Whatever happened to your friend from Russia? His name is Dave or something. Does he like Putin or not? What was his name again?
Pretty much. From St. Petersburg. Is it Daniel?
Daniel. I haven't heard from him for a while, but he didn't say that. He never really told me if he liked Putin or disliked Putin.
It's so. Kevin Danielson.
Okay, that's his name. Yeah, okay.
Well, we got two callers standing by, but I want to point out Tucker's entire show tonight is going to be devoted to the Biden whistleblower, Tony Bobulinski. This is going to be the most watched television program in history right here in terms of a cable host for a one-hour show. This is going to set records, Rolf. I have no doubt.
His
whole one-hour show with Tony.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Good move, Tucker.
It's going to be huge.
Okay, we got two callers standing by. I'm going to bring in first Giuseppe from the district. Giuseppe, join us.
Well, interesting show, Jim, picking Rolf's brain about the polling and everything. I have two questions involving that. The first one is, how much stock does Rolf put in the various betting lines, especially the European betting services that are really picking Biden to win? And secondly, how much stock does he put in to the fact that Trump's drawing these record crowds and Biden isn't drawing? Is that accurate, or is it affected by the nanny state Democrats' absolute terror about being out in public now?
Okay. The first question was the betting markets.
Yes. So,
as far as I can tell, the betting markets tend to be about 3-2 for Biden. 3-2. So 60% to 40%, right? Mm-hmm. So if you remember Ted Williams, when he hit 400, okay, if Ted Williams got a hit when he hit 400, would that be surprising? Not really. So, you know, if it's 60 to 40, that's really a toss-up, okay? So why the betting markets are for Biden over Trump, you know, maybe people believe the
Could they see on TV?
That's what it was last time when Clinton was running. She was favored. by more than 3-2. I mean, I don't remember the final odds, but Clinton was unanimously described as a certain, you know, 99%, according to the New York Times computer. The Nate Silver, he had Trump anywhere from the mid 70s to the high 90s. That's still a lot higher than 60%. So I think the betting markets are what they're doing is that they're just assuming the polls might be accurate, but then they're hedging. That's why it's only 3-2. Because if the polls were accurate, Biden would be a lot bigger than a 3-2 favorite. Okay. Although polls are coming in as we speak, contradicting that. I see a new poll in North Carolina tied 48-48 Survey USA poll. This is another pollster now that's showing a tie in a key battleground state. Now, your second question was regarding the size of the Trump rallies.
Versus the Biden, yeah.
That's right. Okay, well, that's anecdotal information. So you have to think about what does it mean. Now, remember, Ron Paul had some big rallies. Ron Paul had big rallies because people who were just upset that Ron Paul wasn't in the news would go to the rally. So people were really for Ron Paul. But remember, the number of people who are for Trump vastly outnumbers the people who are for Ron Paul. Okay. The second thing is Trump is in the news all the time. Okay. Trump is in the news more than anybody really since JFK, probably of a world personality. No one's been in the news more than anyone since JFK besides Trump. So, of course, Trump is getting negative news coverage, whereas JFK got positive news coverage. Okay. So the rallies are just one piece of the puzzle. I think that the rallies are, even though it's anecdotal, remember that Trump is having these rallies. Well, he typically will have, say, I'll give you an example. He had one with 16,000 people recently who were identified as voters. So every person at the rally checked their ID, and they said, who are you voting for? And they said they're voting for Trump, okay? Typically, Trump will have 20% of the people will be Democrats, and 20% more will be independents. So right there, you see Trump is building a database. Remember, he does this at every rally. If he has 100 rallies and he gets the name of 16,000 people times 100, he has, and remember these are predominantly in battleground states, he's got a massive database, including thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who are Democrats, who are for Trump. Then another factor is about 25% of the people who come to Trump's rallies and are identified as voters didn't vote for Trump in 2016. And about 15% of the people haven't voted since in the 21st century. Okay, so these are what's called, these are possibly the hidden voters. These are all in a database. So you have to ask yourself, Trump is creating this giant database of supporters, and Joe Biden isn't. That's an advantage. Think about, take a state like Wisconsin. Trump won Wisconsin by 22,000 votes, I believe. Okay, Trump has more than 22,000 people if he just between one or two rallies right there. And then if you take the number of people he's picking up as new voters, he's going to have more than that's Trump has enough people in his database to cover the margin in a close race. And Michigan was even closer than last time. It was less than 20,000. Pennsylvania was only like 29,000, I think. And another state that was even closer was New Hampshire. It was even closer than all these. He lost New Hampshire. Okay, he probably has more voters coming in at a New Hampshire rally than the margin of his loss last time. So the rallies, even though it's anecdotal information, it's. He's got these voters lined up who are contacted. These voters are either going to be voting, and some of them will be putting up yard signs, volunteering, just talking about Trump, getting getting some buzz for Trump, you might say. That's what they say with a movie. When movies come out, they're putting up stuff on their Twitter and Facebook, whatever. So Trump's rallies are very important. And that's one of the reasons why they always yell and scream on TV that Trump's rallies are going to have, someone's going to catch the virus. Right? Because they're trying to keep, the virus is unbelievably bad for Trump in many ways. It's my personal view is it was created in a laboratory and sprung out right after the impeachment. It was probably, somebody, I don't think this virus just happened to show up in 2020 right after the impeachment was over. I don't believe it. The virus, remember, Trump would have been having rallies all year. Think how many rallies Trump would have had if it wasn't for the virus. Think how big his rallies would be. His rallies are big, but they're not as big as they were before. He doesn't have 50,000 people at his rallies anymore because of the virus. Some people won't go to some old people probably shouldn't go to a Trump rally. If you're 80 years old, you probably shouldn't go to a Trump rally, right? So,
right.
So the virus is hurting him, and then the media uses it as an excuse. So Trump doesn't care if people die. He's having a rally, you know. Of course, when Black Lives Matter has a rally, then the media never says anything about that. And then if they break windows, then they don't care. Either the Trump rallies, they don't break windows. So that's the answer to your question.
Good, 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 good. Very good, very good. Giuseppe, I'm going to give you a follow-up, and then I'll bring in Paul, because I know Paul will be irrepressible. Go ahead, Giuseppe. Just add another question if you have one.
What does Rolf believe the impact will be of the high level of mail-in balloting?
Yeah, the absentee and mail-in. I've got a thing here, Rolf, where in Michigan the poll workers are being instructed about how to destroy ballots and how to toss poll workers, poll watchers out of the polling place. It's pretty disgusting in what they're planning to do in Michigan.
Okay. It's obviously something of concern, but when it's all said and done, Trump has poll watchers. Trump has lots of lawyers. Trump has Republicans in key positions in many of the battleground states, whether it be governor, legislator, or Supreme Court. And although there may be small, there may end up being some fraud, I don't think that unless the election's down to the nearest 100 or 1,000 votes, I don't think the fraud is going to make a difference. I think that Trump's all over it. If it was a different person besides Trump, if it was a lower level race where you have a candidate that's, you know, doesn't have the money and the power that Trump has, you could knock him out with fraud. But I think there's too many people watching out for the fraud to really get away with it. That's my opinion. And also, I'm trying to track the early voting numbers. There's three kinds of data that's kind of confused together. There's the new voter registration, then there's the early voting by mail, and then there's the early in-person voting. So it sounds to me like Trump is doing better than expectations in these areas. That's as far as I can tell. Trump is beating expectations. In other words, he's doing better than 2016 in these areas, in most of the key battleground states.
Rolf, you've been doing a superb job. I can't tell you how happy I am with everything you've been reporting here. Paul's from California, and he's going to have some questions or comments. Paul, join the conversation.
Thank you.
Don't waste time, Paul. Time is precious. Go ahead.
You know, okay, you don't want to hear what I have to say, fine. You don't tell me to not waste time. I don't waste time. I say what I feel like saying. Go ahead and take somebody else if you don't want to hear me.
Paul, I called you. Go ahead.
Well, okay, you killed my humorous bent a little bit. I will say this, okay, it was interesting the first hour or so, all right? The fact that you said you wanted to put me off for a little bit because I would be irrepressible is a presumption that I don't fault you for. Okay, I did hear something that was said right after the beginning of the second hour that I want to react to, and it's not just particularly because what Rolf said, but it's also what you said earlier, Jim, in the first hour. Rolf said that Biden was an accidental candidate. Okay. And I take a big issue with that. Now, you yourself, Jim, said that Biden, of course, was by far the least desirable sort of candidate they could have had, and that you didn't really believe that he won the primary that they said he won. It was very unlikely based upon the polling data that was occurring before these primaries happened. And that you yourself said that Kamala Harris was probably the weakest of all the vice presidential candidates that could have been chosen. Does all that, you know, ring true to you right now?
Yeah, more or less. Sure, Paul. That's okay. I'm willing to go with that. I mean, look, okay, Biden never won a caucus or a primary in all of his three tries for president until South Carolina. And that's when Google came into the works and started sending get-out-the-vote reminders to Democrats. They expected mostly black to vote for Biden. Kamala was the choice of the establishment, but she never caught on with the people. And she dropped out before Iowa, Paul. I mean, how weak is that? She dropped out before Iowa. Go ahead.
Right. So this supports my premise. And I'm not here to rain on anybody's Trump parade or to bash on Trump. He's obviously the better choice. But I just want to keep in mind, to set the table of what it is we're looking at, and I think it's pretty clear. You yourself said she was the establishment candidate. Okay, let's assume that's true. And let's assume that it's also true that they're using a Joe Biden double in debates because he is so feeble that they don't trust him to go out and debate anybody, right?
Yeah.
And let's assume that he was preferentially chosen because they pushed Bernie Sanders aside because Bernie Sanders was a viable candidate.
Paul, you're going to be cut off here. I'll let you, we'll review your premises when we return from the break. We got a little bread. This happy Paul will be right back.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution. Radio!
Hi, everybody. It's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
So today we have my guest, Rolf Lindgren, who has a degree in mathematics from UW-Madison, an expert in polling, very active and past in the Libertarian Today and the Republican Party, laying out statistical and other reasons why Trump appears to be headed for a decisive victory. Rolf is more cautious in his estimate of how well he's going to do than am I. Giuseppe has offered several questions seeking clarification about the meaning of Trump's large rallies and Biden's small and about the betting lines and so forth. Now, Paul wants to introduce what he considers to be a note of realism by offering us several predicates about the weakness of Biden, a weakness of Kamala, and other aspects. Paul, repeat as much as you want to get your question on the table.
Okay, thank you. And again, I will say this, is I believe Trump will win easily, and he should. If things are real, Trump will win overwhelmingly. And that if anybody does want to actually collect the bet, that's the only bet to make. But what I'm trying to get across, and I was not going to call today, I was just basically going to let it go. There's no reason for me to come in sometimes, and I'm not going to look too cantankerous for no reason.
I like your calls, okay? Just don't misunderstand. Just go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. But I do respect everything that you do on this show. And so to continue with the premise, which is pretty straightforward, okay? A lot of times I think some of the things we're looking at are very complex, and it's like a combination of I Spy and Mission Impossible and the Avengers, and you really got to think. But to me, this one looks easy, okay? They might as well run a cardboard cutout. Okay, who on earth would pick Biden, right? I mean, the guy's odious. I never had to see any creeper videos of him to get the creeps from that guy. Even when he was younger, even when he was younger and you watched the videos of him speaking, which you can do online, right? He's not an attractive sounding man at all. Trump is, as Rolf and was saying earlier about who would you want to have a beer with? Yeah, Trump seems, of all the people we've talked about, Trump seems like the kind of guy you'd want to hang out and party with. A close second would be Hunter Biden. I mean, he knows the guy. I don't know why they don't just run Hunter Biden. I mean, the same effect could be accomplished because I don't think Biden is viable. And you said yourself you don't believe Kamala Harris is viable. They chose the weakest.
Yes.
So what does that tell me? The media and the deep state are not necessarily one and the same, but let's face it, the cooperation between the media and the deep state cannot be argued. Now, there's going to be different elements. I will concede that. But the element at play here is that they want Trump to win. Are there people in the deep state and the establishment that Trump is at odds with and that he has to battle? I am certain of it. Okay. Well, but I think the table has been set so that Trump can and will win. And so having said that, that's just a framework in which to look at this. I'm going to mention a series I just started watching called Shadowgate. I've not seen it before. I think I might have heard of it. I've just watched the first two episodes. There's four episodes in total. And it's a guy by the name of, I think it's Ken O'Brien. I'd have to double check. But you can see it on BitChute. And essentially the premise is that the military, okay, is the one that's behind Trump. But it's not necessarily what you think, because a lot of our military deep state is essentially Israeli military deep state and Mossad and the one world government military deep state, not necessarily, you know, American patriotic military. So I would recommend somebody, anybody who wants to start watching part of that series called Shadowgate to get a little bit fuller perspective of what we might be looking at here. That's not to say I don't think Trump will win. I do. And I obviously hope he does. And I got my fingers crossed that he's going to be good for us. But I'm wary. That's all.
Let me offer a couple of responses, Paul. I have done three 2-hour shows about Shadowgate. They're at jimtheconspiracyguy.com with Danny Sears, who has an extensive background in law enforcement. We've looked at this from almost every point of view. It's great stuff. Millie Weaver did a sensational job. Now, in my opinion, that group that she's exposing there is not working on behalf of Donald Trump, but on the contrary, for the deep state, where Biden is just a puppet. Remember, Biden is so compromised that the powers that be can manipulate him, just as AOC felt they could pressure him. The Chinese like Biden because they own Biden, and this Hunter stuff makes him all the more vulnerable. They never expected. Look, the situation would be totally different if Hunter had not got careless about his laptops and left him in that repair shop in Wilmington over 10 months ago. Tonight we're going to have the single most important 1 hour related to the future of this nation in our history with Tucker and one of their partners, one of their actual partners who eyewitnessed Joe Biden performing these corrupt acts that the Biden campaign has claimed again and again and again they have never done, where he himself during the debate claims this is a contest, an election about character, where it turns out his character is so corrupt and just god-awful that anyone who knows the facts of the matter would be repulsed. But, Paul, this was unexpected. This is serendipitous. At the beginning, I pointed out James Woods said, if you want proof that there is a God, it's Hunter Biden's laptop. They had this all set up. They've been trying to get rid of Trump from the beginning, even before he was inaugurated. You had the laptop, the Russiagate, the Ukraine gate. You had the impeachment. You had coronavirus. And I agree 100% with Rolf. This was time to weaken Trump, to curtail his ability to get people together, to make it impossible for them, his mass rallies, and a whole host of other, weaken the economy, to take away the two greatest attributes he had going into re-election, namely the robust economy, which really was raising all boats, including the lowest wage-earning workers who found their wages rising at the highest rate. These are the blacks and Latinos who are so grateful he's cracked down on the border. The Democrats thought they could get rid of all of that with the coronavirus. This is all totally manufactured. And with their control of the media, Paul, they thought they could run Mickey Mouse and win the election. They didn't think they needed a better candidate than Joe Biden. They wanted Joe Biden because they could manipulate him so easily. Now, that's my take. I want to turn it over to Rolf and then Giuseppe, and then I'm coming back to you. Rolf.
Okay, so to clarify my opinion of Biden, Biden is like a generic Democrat. He also has the advantage of being Obama's vice president for 8 years. So he's actually trusted more by black voters. Okay, if you remember the Democrat field of 27, there were hardly any black candidates running. Okay, Cory Booker was about the only one. Okay, so what happened was none of these other candidates were able to make any inroads at all with black voters. Cory Booker wasn't even really making inroads with black voters. So that's why Joe Biden won the South Carolina primary. Right now Joe Biden is being looked at by many black voters, especially black males, I see a story on Yahoo News about black males switching to Trump. Black males know about the 1994 crime bill where they locked up lots of people, and they know that Trump is doing the First Step Act, which did prison reform. That's a factor. That's why some of these rappers are starting to lean towards Trump. Joe Biden is old. He's obviously not on his game like he used to be. But Joe Biden, none of the other candidates had the name recognition that Joe Biden did or had much of a record of doing anything. Remember, none of these Democrats had any real record of doing anything. Okay, so essentially Joe Biden won by default. He's also a trusted, you know, the deep state trusts Joe Biden. The globalists trust Joe Biden, the neocons and all that people. And they also now with this laptop, which insiders probably knew about this a long time ago. And by the way, the laptop was dropped off, I believe, in April of 2019, not 2020, by the way.
Right.
Yeah. So there's probably people probably knew that this guy was out of control. I mean, it's just like if you're, you know, it's like a mobster or a drug ring or whatever. If you got some nut job in your criminal organization, you know, I've seen movies where there's a bank robbery. One of the guys is just some nut job. He starts shooting people, or you know, the people who get drunk and don't follow the, you know, whatever. This guy was out of control. He was an accident waiting to happen. You know, he's doing crack. He turns a Jeep back in a rental vehicle, and he leaves a crack pipe in the vehicle. I mean, this guy is an idiot, and I don't know who orchestrated that he was going to be the guy, you know, who was going to get all the money. I mean, how did he get? He probably has an engaging personality. You know, we don't know. By the way, notice that Joe Biden's family isn't out campaigning for him, but Trump's family is. You know, Hunter Biden probably isn't stupid. He's probably just got a drug. He's probably a drug addict. He probably has a fun personality, you know, like his dad. But this guy was an accident waiting to happen. People who use crack, cocaine, are not reliable people. They make mistakes. They waste money. Then he's got all these hookers flying around with them. Well, hookers find information out, and they can tell someone else, and then you get rumors. Hookers also, you know, hookers don't just hang out with Joe Biden or Hunter Biden. They may hang out with other big shots. So then one hooker gets some information from Hunter, and then he tells another big shot. You know, this stuff gets around. The guy's a security risk. I mean, talking about the old days of the Clinton body count that we used to hear about, I mean, this is the kind of guy who, you know, I don't know how this guy got to be in such an important position of getting all this money divvied up, but someone really, really screwed up somewhere along the line. And I have a report right here. It just came out. Tucker Carlson had the highest rated month in cable news history. Just came out report. Over 5 million people per show. Averaged 5.4 million people per show in the last month. Unbelievable. So Joe Biden is a guy that the big corporate interests like, and he would simply be a guy who would, he wouldn't be calling all the shots. He might call a shot here or there, but he'd have to be one of the most mentally disabled presidents in the U.S. history, outside of the ends of some presidents were disabled near the ends of their lives, like FDR, people like that, Woodrow Wilson, but no one's ever started their presidency in this kind of condition. It's never happened before. I mean, even Reagan was in pretty good condition until he was shot. So
let me bring in Giuseppe.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm glad your friend Paul thinks Trump is going to win. I didn't find his comments that surprising. I mean, you know, I don't think there's a double doing Joe Biden's debates. Okay.
Well, there is.
Otherwise,
yeah.
We don't need to debate that. The point, no. Well, the key point Paul was making is he thinks that actually both sides want Trump to win. And I'm 100% convinced that's not the case. Giuseppe, let me bring you in to add your point of view.
Well, based on what both Paul and Rolf are discussing, it seems to me that the 8 months ago when the globalist parasites decided to go all in on their plan for essentially the New World Order, the Great Reset, they had it in their mind that they could arrogantly choose anyone to be the Democratic nominee because they were going to install whoever they wanted. This is, in my mind, their level of arrogance. So if you look at what Soros has done, as we discussed every day on Need to Know the Feds report, Soros now controls the Democratic Party, hook, line, and sinker. He's a Talmudic parasite, and in their myth, they have something called a golem, which is this giant clay statue that the Talmudists can bring to life to destroy their enemies. And that's pretty much what Soros, an avowed communist who has publicly stated he wishes to destroy the United States, that's what he's doing. So I think Biden, and especially Kamala Harris, as you previously stated, the fellow said, nobody's interested in, yet she's placed in the number two position for a guy who's probably not going to live out another year. And so the arrogance of all this, and no kidding, people are flocking to Trump, and Tucker has record numbers. This is really like the Stephen King novel, The Stand. This is literally the final stand. Are we going to retain our sovereign republic and our freedoms? Or are we going to become a third world shithole that is quickly migrated into the North American Union?
That's all excellent. All excellent. Now, Paul, I want to give you the opportunity to pick up wherever you like. Go ahead.
Yeah. And with, commenting on what Giuseppe just said about, are we going to, maintain our sovereign republic and so on? I would just say, stay tuned for next week's episode, right? Because that's what we're coming down to. I think that I can agree with many things that you say, Jim. I think that your angle, your take is plausible and it's interesting. I think the best way to look at what I'm trying to say is I personally believe it's more of a stage play than what we think. So in other words, if it's more controlled, if the actors and the production company is more uniformly controlled, then I think my point of view is more viable. I don't claim any particular knowledge about it. It's just a feeling I have. There's some things I'm very, very convinced of, and other things I'm, degrees of moderately convinced. This is one of those things where I happen to feel that they did this on purpose. Just like I don't feel the coronavirus was any, particular thing to destabilize Trump or to get rid of Trump, given the fact that it's worldwide. And given the fact that loans are being made conditional to some countries if they impose mask mandates and such things, I think that these people chose at this time to make their move. They're making as big a move as possible in this totalitarian push. And, hopefully Trump is going to oppose them with everything he has for us in our best interest. That's what my hope is. But again, I'm viewing it from, like I said, as an audience member. And I appreciate you listening to me. And I didn't mean to get too sensitive. It's just right away when I started speaking, when you said, come on, Paul, don't waste time. Give us your take. It's like, okay, I got to lie.
I'm sorry I didn't let you enjoy that moment because I was appreciating your response actually myself. Let's go back to Giuseppe and then to Rolf and then to Paul. Giuseppe.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jim. I was actually editing. What was the question?
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Rolf, go ahead. Give your thoughts in response to Paul. Paul still thinks that it makes more sense to suppose, not that they were targeting Trump specifically, though that seems to have had something to do with the timing, because it's worldwide, because the global reset really is global. Paul feels that...
Okay, first of all, I want to... George Soros is obviously a powerful Democratic person, but you're just going to remember there's dozens of powerful billionaires, many who are, you know, close to being as wealthy as George Soros. So just remember that the Democratic Party is really a consortium of globalist billionaires. My full theory regarding the virus is this, that in around the world we have socialized medicine. We have, even in the United States, we have a problem with the future of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid in countries that were involved in World War II. It's even worse, like France, Canada, Great Britain. They have a giant baby boom, and then there were wars, and even in places like China, there's an issue where whether the healthcare system could impoverish the whole world because there's so many old people who need help that the whole world could become impoverished. So what I believe is that they've been working on a virus that can target old people and kill them. Okay, so I think this has been going on for a long time. And I think that these remember when they do bio warfare, they're looking at really strange things that sound evil. And you know, who knows what they're, remember, we know that there's bio warfare labs in advanced countries. So what they do is they find a virus that has certain characteristics that would hurt Trump. That, what are the characteristics? It's highly contagious. It's deadly enough. It's deadly enough to create a scare. In other words, it's more deadly than the flu, but not deadly enough to be.
I think we should, you know,
real,
I think we should stay on politics.
Paul, this is just politics.
Okay. So they take this virus and they let it loose, and they time it so it comes into the United States just after the impeachment was over, just after the primaries were starting for the Democrats, just after Biden won the South Carolina primary and then Super Tuesday, then all of a sudden pretty much everything stopped. So this virus comes out, as Jim said, it hurts Trump in many ways, especially by hurting the economy. Then they can blame Trump for dead people. Like Keith Olbermann wants Trump charged with 220,000 murders, you know, demented. And then of course, demented. It hurts Trump with his rallies and it makes it hard for his rallies. And also, lots of people are going out of business. Some rich people can go in and buy. Think of all the businesses that are going to be swept up by some rich guy who's going to go in and buy property at bargain basement, and then all of a sudden when the virus is over. And then, of course, another bad advantage of the virus is...
Why would the virus be over?
Hang on.
Government control. All right. The government can take more... Trump has shown remarkable restraint in not being a dictator in the case of this virus. Trump could have become a dictator if he wanted to. He really could have. If Adolf Hitler had a virus like this, it would have been a lot easier for him to take over.
Okay.
Think about it.
Support your point, look at the governors in these Democratic states. Look at Newsom. Look at Cuomo. I mean, they are dictators. It's outrageous. Paul is suffering the consequences of having a Democratic governor who is a de facto dictator in California. God forbid. What an awful situation to be in. Rolf, I can't tell you how much I've liked everything you've been saying here. Paul is itching to get back into the fray, so I want to give him another chance, but I really like everything you've been saying, Rolf.
Oh, thank you very much. And Paul is really good. I really enjoyed your other guests today, or your callers.
Excellent. Paul, go ahead, but make it short. So if Giuseppe has...
Yeah, no. I appreciate you empathizing here with what's going on in California, because it's disgusting. And you probably heard that Newsom, who admitted July 27th that he can't mandate anything. I mean, he said that, right? I can't mandate anything. I can only help influence. But now he's telling us, well, at holiday gatherings, you only want to do this or do that. This is the thing that galls me about. They are using this virus, whether it's real or not. That's a different topic for a different day. We've covered it. But I highly suggest, Jim, you referred Rolf to these websites that I've mentioned, that you've mentioned, that they can't isolate the virus. So what are they testing for? and the supposed virus that they put in solutions that they're saying is the one that's causing this, they put it in, they can't even contaminate human cell tissue cultures, okay? So what does that tell you? They're just using it. It's a tool. It's tyranny masquerading as science and medicine is all it is. I don't think it has anything to do with Trump, but if they could use it against Trump, then they would. But well, that's secondary, in my opinion.
Paul, remember, the United States is the greatest source of wealth in the world. So if they're going to have a global reset where they want to take control of the world, the U.S. is the number one target. The U.S. is also the hardest target, including the fact that we have a Second Amendment. We got 130 million armed Americans who aren't going to vote for Joe Biden. Sure as hell aren't enthusiastic about these lockdowns, face masks, or social distancing. So I think the whole thing was sprung in a way that fulfilled what Rolf has been concerned about with regard to Trump, because they had to find a maximal vulnerability at the time. But it has been planned years and years and years in advance, and that's very much on your side. But I think it's all come together. Now, all come together. Giuseppe, I don't know if you actually were almost to the very total end. So, Rolf, I just...
Well, just two quick...
Yeah. Quick.
I was just going to say two quick points. There may be a consortium of Democratic billionaires, but only George Soros' son bragged that they got to pick the vice president. And secondly, Rolf is right on about the gain of function for eugenics and population control and enslavement via a mandatory vaccine agenda. I completely agree with him.
Rolf, you were
just... The governor of
California wants you to put a mask on at the restaurant in between bites.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's just ridiculous.
It's insane.
Well, we sympathize with you, my friend. You're in a desperate plight, and we do not envy your situation.
And Jim, just on 20 seconds, too, first of all, that was a great reply to what you just gave me, and it was well stated. I just want to remind this thing about Shadowgate. I'm very interested to see your work. But this guy's work was not restating Millie Weaver's work. It was his own work where he mentioned her. But it's a lot more to it than that.
Okay, so, good, Paul. Anyway. Good. Great stuff. You and Giuseppe were wonderful. Paul,
Thank you.
Paul, you are wonderful. Master, thank you.
All right, I had a great time. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone out there for being here.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.